I want to welcome you again to the Harmonic Health and Wellness Program. Congratulations on your success. I pray that you are receiving these life-changing principles that will permanently change the way you see your body and your health. The topic for this week is called Staying in the Game, and I can't think of a more appropriate guest to finish off the program than Herbie Kuhn. Herbie is no stranger to the game. As a famous in-house voice of the Toronto Raptors for the last 12 years, Herbie has seen and experienced the joys of victory and the frustration of defeat, both on and off the court. In addition to announcing, Herbie is also an accomplished master of ceremonies, motivational speaker, and evangelist. His list of jobs has also included voiceovers, commercials, and freelance sports writing. In his free time, Herbie plays hockey and enjoys reading, music, writing, theater, and running. He recently completed his first ever marathon in Alaska, raising funds for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Canada in the process. And he's due to run another marathon in September of 2007. Welcome, Herbie.
Kathy, good evening. Wow, what an introduction.
You have a long list of accolades there. That's wonderful.
I suppose if you live long enough, you can add enough things to your list. Very good. How are you this evening?
I am wonderful, thank you. And I'm so excited to have you, especially to finish off this program.
Staying in the game. Yeah, I think I know a thing or two about that, having been with the Raptors for the last dozen years.
That's right. Herbie, as a successful motivator, fitness enthusiast, and someone who is committed to maintaining a healthy weight, would you agree that managing your weight is an ongoing daily process?
Not only ongoing daily, but sometimes I would think even hour to hour as well.
So true.
For me, my weight has been one of the top things on my frustration list, but when the breakthroughs happen, it's also been one of the top things on my list of blessings as well. And not a single day passes where I don't have to think twice about what I'm eating, whether I'm going back for a second helping, reflecting on what the previous meals in the day or the previous meals in the week have been. Not a single day passes that I don't consider what my intake is, and also what the outcome that will, the result of that will have on my overall weight and my overall sense of well-being as well, no doubt about it.
So it's a level of consciousness that you have to constantly maintain. You can't really
Absolutely.
Let your guard down, huh?
Absolutely. That's a very good way of putting it. When you're not thinking about it, you walk into a situation nonchalantly, then you're setting yourself up for a potential fall. That's for sure. I walk into restaurants and you're focused on something else that's going on in your life, and you just want to order whatever you want to order, right?
Right, right.
instead of maybe I should have a healthy alternative this time around, and then one time that's okay, but when you do that several times in the course of 1 week, it can certainly add up. Both on the scale and in terms of making you feel just slower all overall, no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm. Now, has that been the biggest challenge, or what would you say is the biggest challenge for you in managing your weight?
The biggest challenge for me in managing my weight is far and away my food intake. I'm not a skinny man. I'm currently, praise God, just under 210 pounds, but that is... It's taken a lot of effort to get there. I've been there before, and then I've fallen backwards. And eating along with exercise are my two biggest things. But eating would definitely be the bigger one because, quite simply, I love food. I enjoy my meals immensely. When there's some good home cooking in front of me, it's a real challenge not to just want to keep going until you are absolutely stuffed. And I suppose we should qualify that there's a big difference between being full and being absolutely stuffed.
That's right.
It's okay to eat until you're full, but it's not okay to eat until you're absolutely stuffed. And I grew up with some great West Indian cooking around me, and I continue to have a circle of friends and family that provide exceptional meals, and plus my lifestyle, which includes a lot of travel and lots of time on the road, means that I spend a lot of time in restaurants and hotels and whatnot, and it's very easy to let your guard down, and I really just have to be very careful with what I'm eating in terms of desserts, meal portions, and that is no doubt, the biggest struggle I have in terms of maintaining a healthy weight.
Good. And in there, I heard that there's a lot of changes, there's a lot of adjustments that you've had to make in your life to help maintain that balance and to help keep you focused on your vision. Can you share what are some of those changes that you've had to make in your life?
Well, some of the things for me have been, for example, snacking. I'm the kind of guy who would love to have a full breakfast, a full lunch, and a full supper, and then whenever I just feel like it, not even when I'm hungry, I don't necessarily have to have a hunger pang rumbling through my stomach, just see something in between meals, and it's like, yeah, I can have that. I can rationalize having anything. And having to make adjustments like, you know what, cutting out those snacks of a chocolate bar or a bag of chips in between meals. Things like, you know, having only one dessert per day, not dessert after lunch, not dessert after lunch and after dinner, along with something snuck in between. Little things like that. No, I guess I should say big things like that.
Right.
And the biggest one probably that has made the biggest difference for me, and this is the one that frustrates my wife to the greatest end, is my decision not to eat late at night. you know, a lot of people go to work, then they go to the gym, then they come home, and then they watch TV, and they end up having, you know, a meal at 8:30, 9 p.m. in the evening, 9:30 sometimes, and then they go to bed. For me, that's a surefire prescription for putting weight on.
Right.
So I do my best to make sure that my dinner meal is finished as early as possible. You know, I really try my best to be finished dinner by 7 most nights, and that way I've got a good 2.5, 3, sometimes 3.5 hours of activity and regular living time to help the meal digest before I crawl under the covers.
That's good. That's a very sensible tip. What I also heard in what you were saying, it's there's a lot of small changes to be made, but they result in big differences.
Oh, yeah. When you make small changes, just one of them, well, maybe you might not notice anything. But when they are accumulative, you certainly begin noticing differences, especially when you couple them with exercise. When you're eating smarter, that's one thing. Most people in this world don't like dieting.
Right.
But when you combine the dieting along with an active lifestyle, then that's a surefire combination for success, no doubt about it.
Right. And by dieting, you mean healthy eating. You don't
mean
on a diet.
Exactly. I'm just like you. I'm not a real great proponent of radical diets, of changing things completely right across the board.
Right.
I'm more of a proponent of just sensible eating and, you know, cutting back every now and then.
That's
instead.
Right.
And,
being responsible.
Yeah, exactly, being responsible. It's all about common sense. I'm like, let's face it, every person listening to this knows when they've had enough.
That's right.
We all know when we've had enough, and we all have had that moment where we have looked at the remainder of the portion sitting on the common plate in the middle of the table, and we've thought to ourselves, yeah, I could down that, no problem, but we know we don't need to. We've all been there, and it's making that decision that says, you know what, that will stay good in the fridge overnight, and not going for it. That makes a big difference when you do it over and over and over again.
And what I'm hearing from you is that it's a challenge, it's an ongoing challenge, but I'm hearing victory in your whole attitude. I'm not hearing, oh, this is so hard, I can't do it, but I'm hearing you quite positive and also acknowledging that it's a challenge.
Well, I think that's just a bit of my personality coming in, Kathy. I am, by nature, a positive person, one that looks to succeed. I'm not going to lie for a moment. It is challenging. It is difficult as all get out sometimes.
Right.
There are times when I just want to throw my hands up and give up. There's no doubt about it. However, as we alluded to at the beginning of the interview, with life experience come things you learn to put into practice next time.
Right.
And the older I get and the longer that I live, I realize that when I do stumble, that it's not worth it to moan and mope over it indefinitely, but you need to say, okay, I messed up, let's pick up your socks and do better next time.
Right.
And that's definitely one of the things I try to adhere to. Yes, I still make mistakes. Yes, of course there are still times when I overeat, and I usually kick myself afterwards, and I'm upset, and I'm grumpy, and my family hears about it, and stuff like that. But you know what? It doesn't last very long. It doesn't last more than a couple of hours, and then I'm looking to make a change to compensate for that.
Great.
So winning is definitely part of the attitude.
Excellent. Now, have you ever experienced plateaus in your weight release?
Oh, yes.
I take it once or twice.
Oh, my goodness. There's something about my scale. I'm telling you, somebody must have slipped an extra weight on every now and then. And you absolutely are absolutely certain that this weigh-in, it is going to be broken through, and yet it's right at that same amount. Over this last 6 months, I have been, unfortunately, due to a sports injury late last year, combined with some irresponsible meal practices, I guess you could
choices,
say,
yes.
I ended up putting on not a huge amount of weight, but about, 17 to 20 pounds over the last, from last summer up until winter time of this 2007. So since February or so, I've been trying my best to chip away at that a little bit, and I started off at about 227 or so, 227, 228, and I, without too much difficulty, was able to get down to the 220, 221 range, got through that, but once I hit 217, 218, Lord have mercy, I could have dieted, I could have fasted, I could have run 50 kilometers, and I don't think I would have gone down half an ounce. And that 217, 218 was a tough one to break through, but persistence pays off, and up on the scale this morning, I was at 209.5.
Wow, congratulations.
So thank God for that, and I'm committed to getting down to 205, and that for me, between 2 and 205, as you know, will be a comfortable weight for me.
Right. Now, I heard persistence. Are there any other methods? Is there anything else you did to help break through that plateau?
Sometimes you just have to work harder.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you just have to make a couple of tough decisions. For example, using the occasional meal replacement instead of a traditional meal. So,
right.
For example, go for a run in the morning, and instead of having my traditional bowl of cereal with toast or whatever, you know what, let me just use a meal replacement or a meal supplement this time,
right.
Which will be fewer calories, fewer grams of fat coming into my body, and have a healthy lunch and a healthy dinner, and that, for me, helps break through a little bit.
Right.
And when you combine that with a really tough workout the next day, or, an extra kilometer, or if you do the same amount of kilometers but pick up the pace or something like that,
right.
Those little things assist in breaking through that plateau weight. I find that persistence is definitely the word. If you keep at it, if you just keep on keeping on, then eventually you will get through and see your goals realized.
Excellent. Now, what are some of the ways that you see your goals realized? So the number on the scale you have talked about, is there any other way that you measure your success?
I think there are two things. Number one, not necessarily in this order, how some of my clothes fit. No doubt about it.
Yes.
When you're able to do up the belt loop just that one
right.
extra hole,
right.
that's a great feeling.
Right.
And there are clothes in my closet where I know that whoever manufactured those clothes had me in mind when they made those clothes, because they are right on that borderline between when I'm feeling fit and when I'm feeling a little bit fat. And when I'm feeling a little bit fat, there's no way I want to wear that shirt or that
right.
pair of shorts out of the house. But when I'm feeling fit, no problem. I know I can get away with it, and I know that I can feel comfortable in it. And so for me, how my clothes fit is a significant one, no doubt about it. More importantly, though, I think just a peace of mind.
Yeah.
I know when I'm being successful, and I know when I feel good. And there are times when I walk out first thing in the morning, and I'm feeling, I've got an extra spring in my step, and I'm like, what? This belly doesn't feel so big today, and I'm happy about that. And there are other times when I walk out the door in the morning, and I'm feeling blah, and it feels like somebody added on, a weight belt to the front of my belly, and it's pulling over my belt, and it's like, hey, who did this overnight? And so for me, it's just my overall how I'm feeling throughout the course of the day, when I'm getting in and out of the car, when I'm, down at the Air Canada Center and I'm walking along the court in front of thousands of people.
Yes.
Do I feel comfortable or don't I feel comfortable?
Yes.
And to me, I can tell that very easily. And for me, that's definitely a defining factor in whether I have been successful or not.
Good, yes. I find that too with myself. So sometimes it's a scale, sometimes it's a clothes, and sometimes it's just that extra confidence or that extra zip
strut.
In your step. Yes.
Confidence strut.
That's it. That's
no
it
doubt
exactly.
About it. No doubt about it.
Now, if you were to give us a few tips on staying focused on your vision, I know you personally and you're very driven and you have a vision for your health, for your life, for your family. Can you give us some tips on how we can stay focused on our vision during those plateaus? This happens to be the last week of the program. So what now, people are probably wondering.
For me, something that, and I don't know if you call this a motivational tool, but for me, this is reality. I look at the things that are important to me in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, I have been blessed with a wonderful wife and a beautiful 10-and-a-half-month-old son. And when I am frustrated and I feel like I cannot break that plateau or I've been eating irresponsibly, I think to myself, okay, what quality of life do you want to be living right now, mister? You know, do you want to be lazy around the house? Do you want to walk around feeling unfit when there's a woman in your house who, you know, wants to be able to look at you as a handsome man? Do you want to be taking care of your body so that when your boy is running, which it won't be too long now before he does, you know, I want to be able to wrestle with him. I want to be able to play catch with him. I want to be able to go play football with him. I want to teach that kid how to do long distance running. You know, so I think long term. I think down the road, do I want to be one of those guys who is watching his son or daughter do things, or do I want to be one of the dads that's participating? And that, to me, is the greatest motivator that I have. Now, I know that not everybody listening is married, and I know that not everybody listening is a parent either. So for you, I would just recommend find something that's important to you, something that motivates you, and something that is key to you, especially long term.
Yes.
Do you want to see retirement? You
yes,
know?
Yes.
And when you get to retirement age, do you want to be doing it from a wheelchair? Do you want to be doing it using a cane, or do you want to be doing it under your own steam?
Mm-hmm.
You know, things like that. Every one of us dreams of retiring one day and traveling and cruising and whatever. I would like to be able to do that with an extra spring in my step, not creaking around because I haven't taken care of myself. So that's the biggest thing I would encourage people to do is look down the road, look long term, because every decision that we make regarding our physical well-being, well, spiritual, social, every type of well-being, but in this particular case, physical, will have an effect, a result down the road. And so that's what I would encourage people to do.
Wonderful. Thank you. I'm so glad you said that because in week one of the program, the exercise was to write our vision for our health. And exactly as you just mentioned, we had to look at the end of our lives.
Yeah.
And live it backwards, so to speak. So when you when you reach the end of your life, what would you want people to say about you?
Oh, yeah.
And so now it's like, how do we now start to put these things in place as we live our life daily by the choices, by the foods we put in our mouth, by the activities that we do so that we can have that life that we see 50 years or so down the line? So
When my eulogy is given, I don't want people to be describing me as a couch potato.
That's right. That's
you know,
right.
I don't want people to be saying, you know, Herbie just knew every TV program by heart.
Right, right.
You know,
right.
I want people to be saying, you know what, he completed X number of marathons. He was fit. You know, he took good care of himself. He enjoyed extraordinary health. And he was one who taught his son to run. He was this. That's the kind of stuff I want to hear in my eulogy. Not, oh boy, it's a real shame he put on all that weight.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So yeah, set those goals and stick to them. And keep just, you know, I'm not much of that whole power of positive thinking, New Age stuff, but I am certainly a proponent of you know, without vision, the people perish.
Right,
plain and simple.
Right. Which is the title of our week one.
Exactly. You've got to set a plan. Hey, I didn't even know that. There you go. You've got to set a plan. You have to set a dream. You have to set a goal, a vision. Because if you don't do that, you're spinning your wheels, plain and simple. And so for me, my goal is very simple right now. September 30th, 205 pounds, 4 hours.
Good.
Simple as that. I'm going to complete my marathon. I'm going to complete it in under 4 hours. If I don't, you're going to hear a yell. That will be all over Toronto, and I will be under 205 pounds when I do that marathon. Those are my goals. That's what I'm setting for now. And then 13 days after that, the Toronto Zoo, the Metro Zoo 10K run. I've got a goal for that. I'm going to be behind, you know, below 205 pounds, and I'm going to finish it in under 48 minutes. That's my goal. And I'm setting those goals, and those are the things that will keep me motivated to avoid that extra helping in between now and then.
Right. And all those small goals tie into that overall vision that you mentioned of being able to play with your son and be able to run with him.
Exactly.
And so all of that ties back into the vision. Excellent.
As long as he doesn't have to play right after I've completed one of my long runs.
Oh, Lord,
when you've done a 27-kilometer run as a training run, sometimes you just don't feel like going to play football right afterwards.
Now, Herbie, during the program, we discussed a range of topics. We talked about emotional eating. We talked about weekend eating, self-control, the effects of sleep, maintaining balance and harmony in our lives. We talked about cleansing way back in the beginning of the program. I've given you a lot of points here, but do any of these affect your health and wellness? Have they had an impact on you?
Absolutely. Almost every one of those.
Okay.
Emotional eating, sure. It's not something I'm incredibly prone to, but it certainly has happened where if I'm particularly annoyed at something or frustrated by a particular, a set of circumstances, if I've just gotten home from a car drive that took an hour and a quarter that should have taken half an hour,
right.
You know what? I just might go to the fridge and go nuts. There's no doubt about it. If I've had an argument with my wife, anything like that could set me off. Having said that, it's not something that happens to me on a regular basis, but it certainly has in the past.
Yes.
And in terms of rectifying that, oh gosh, I don't even know what to say. Just... don't reach your hand forward to grab it without thinking very thoroughly about what you're doing.
Stay conscious again, conscious eating.
Weekend eating is also one that I occasionally struggle with. You know, we have the privilege of being invited to, especially during the summertime, you know, lots of barbecues, lots of outdoor gatherings on Saturdays, whether they're birthday parties or it's church socials or whatever. And it seems like everybody brings more than enough food for themselves in a small army. And for me, that's my biggest downfall. You know, when there's just a set amount of food, I do fine. But when there's enough that you can go back over and over again, that's a big challenge. And that's why I try my best to avoid buffets now. That's definitely one of my biggest... we'll get to that one in self-control.
Right.
So weekend eating is definitely a challenge. And everybody out there who falls under that temptation, I empathize with you big time. And I think, as we mentioned too at the beginning, we alluded to walking into it with your guard up, not with your guard down.
Right.
You know you're going into
plan
a place.
Plan and prepare for it.
You know that there's going to be a lot of food there.
Yes.
And you know that you have the access. Go in with your mind made up ahead of time. I will eat responsibly.
Yeah.
I will eat responsibly. And that, for me, makes a difference in how I feel by the time I walk out at the end of the event. In regards to self-control, oh boy, big time, big time. My biggest downfall back in the day, and still can be, buffets.
Right.
But now, I'll give you a great example. Today, I had the privilege of having lunch with a businessman, and he gave me the choice of where we were going for lunch. And I could have chosen a buffet, but I specifically chose a restaurant where it's you order your portion, and once you finish it, that's done. That might not have happened 2 or 3 years ago. 2 or 3 years ago, I might have said, you know, where's the nearest buffet? Let's go so that I can go back for 2-3 platefuls plus a couple helpings of dessert plus a salad.
Right.
So for me, self-control means making smart decisions about where I go to eat dinner or where I, you know, decide to have those meals. Effective sleep is another one that you mentioned. That's a tough one. I really don't think I've ever given any thorough thought as to how my sleep or lack thereof affects my appetite. I think the only connection I might be able to make there is tied into the emotional eating.
Right.
Because if I haven't slept well, I'm usually pretty frustrated about it. And I'll get up in the morning and I'll be grumpy because I haven't slept well. And I suppose I may be more prone to have a larger than necessary breakfast. That's not one I have not given that one that much thought. So thank you for lighting that fire. I'm definitely going to have to think about that one. And in terms of the second last point, maintaining balance
and harmony.
Harmony.
Yes.
aren't those just wonderful words? My goodness. Excuse me. Balance and harmony. That's what it's all about. That's what life is all about. Mm-hmm. Whether you're talking about training for a marathon, whether you're talking about raising children, whether you're talking about just staying in the game at your job, you know, with your faith, whatever it is. It's all about balance. Have a proper proportion of everything that you love to do in responsible measures, and make sure you keep it that way, because the moment that it gets out of balance, that's when trouble starts to happen.
Right.
If I start getting too focused on marathon running, or too focused on preaching, or too focused on basketball, well then, guess what? I don't see my wife often enough, and our relationship suffers. I don't get to see my son often enough, and then he starts missing his dad. Balance is so important, and it's something, especially when you have a busy schedule, a demanding schedule, which we as North Americans in 2007 are very prone to give into, and the schedule like mine, which involves a lot of evenings and a lot of weekends and a lot of travel, for me, it's a constant effort of sitting down with my day timer, setting time out ahead of time to make sure that the time is there for the things that are important, like my faith and like my family.
Good. Thank you for
and
that.
The last one was cleansing. I've done a little bit of that, but that hasn't been a big one in my life. I know I probably should more.
Well, we'll talk more.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that one. It's something I've done a couple times. Haven't been really wowed by it completely. I suppose I should try again. But for me, I really think, and everybody will have their own opinion on this, if you eat healthy in a healthy and responsible manner on a regular basis, then you shouldn't need to be too concerned about the cleansing.
Right.
But having said that, I do know it certainly has its benefits, no doubt about it.
Right.
Yeah, but that hasn't been one that's been a huge one for me.
Okay. As of yet.
Sorry, that?
I said as of yet.
As of yet. Apparently you have plans.
That's right. Well, Herbie, we're almost out of time.
All right.
We can maybe you can just put a cap on everything. What closing words can you give all of these overcomers who have just completed this Harmonic Health and Wellness program?
Congratulations.
You're a great motivator.
Congratulations, and keep it going. You will never get a medal for starting the race. You only get a medal when you finish the race. When I did my marathon last year, I realized if I wanted one of those medals hung around my neck, I needed to cross the finish line. And if you want to cross your finish line of fitness in a strong and successful manner, keep on going. Tackle the adversity head on. Don't let your mind defeat your body, and just keep on. Trust God to see you through to the goals and the dreams and the victories and the greatness that you want to see in your life. And that's what I have done, and I'm not going to pretend for a moment that I am the epitome of success. However, I've been doing pretty well. Been doing pretty well over the last several years, and I certainly could not have done it if I had carried a lackadaisical attitude about my health and fitness. So my final words of inspiration, of motivation, are be inspired. Be serious about this. This is not a joking matter. Fitness is forgive the term, it's deadly important.
Yeah, it's our life.
It's deadly
it really
important.
Is.
And if we don't take care of it, you know what? The environment and the toxins around us will take care of it for us. So be serious about it. Be purposeful about it, and trust God, and things will work out somehow just fine. Simple as that. Stay in the game, everybody.
Thank you so much.
Just like the Raptors. We're going to go back to the playoffs again this year.
That's right. Go Raptors.
You got it.
What a perfect cap. Herbie, what really has stood out for me during this interview is your honesty. You're not saying this is easy and piece of cake. You've shared your heart. You've shared your challenges with us, and I really appreciate your honesty. And I also appreciate that you didn't make any excuses. You take full responsibility for what you do and you don't do in your health, and I really appreciate that too, because we had a week on taking responsibility, which I believe was last week.
Okay.
And we heard the same thing. It's there are no excuses. You need to take charge, take the bull by the horns, which I hear that you've done.
This may sound like a harsh term, but blaming others is for wimps.
That's right. Oh, I agree with you.
You got to take responsibility. No one else is in charge of your body. You are.
There's a wonderful quote I once heard, and it's, there's reasons or results. And if you have a reason, that means you didn't get
that.
The result.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Herbie, I want to thank you again. I know your schedule is so busy, so I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us.
Thank you, Kathy. This has been a great privilege, a great blessing, and an honor to participate and hopefully build up the wonderful practice and ministry of Active Image. And I pray that all of your clients and personnel and the people who you deal with on a regular basis will accomplish greatness in terms of staying in the game.
Thank you very much, Herbie.
Thank you, Kathy. Have a great night.
Thank you. You too. Have a great evening.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.